The following audio is from Solid Rock Community Church. More information about Solid Rock Community Church is available at www.solidrockcommunitychurch.com.
I'm really excited about today, and I'm really glad that you're here. Today, we're going to start a brand new series, and we're actually going to be going through the book of Philippians together. And what's so fascinating to me about this particular study that we're going to embark on together is what happened prior to this letter being written and what happened prior to this church ever being established. And it's kind of the story behind the story, if you will. In fact, let me ask you a question, and you don't have to raise your hands, but let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever in your life been going in a particular direction and, you know, in your heart of hearts, you were absolutely convinced that this was the direction that you were supposed to be going? I mean, you just knew in your heart you were going to be an author or a writer, or you just, you know, and so you put all of your energy and you put all your effort into that because that's what you thought you were going to do. Or you just knew that, you know, your destiny was you were going to be a teacher, or maybe you were going to be a speaker, a motivational speaker, or whatever it might be. Or maybe you were someone, you were headed in a direction and you thought for sure, you know, you were going to start your own business and be a business owner, you know, whatever it might be, but you're headed in one direction, and then all of a sudden, doors that you thought would be open never open, relationships that you thought would develop, they never materialized like you thought they were, and now the direction that you thought you were going to go in, the direction you thought that you were supposed to go in, suddenly you can't go that way anymore. Doors have been closed, relationships have been closed, and again, this can happen in any arena of life, in your marriage, your finances, your relationships, dating. You know, you're dating someone and you just know, you are absolutely convinced, man, this is my baby, she is the one. She is the one that we're going to spend, you know, the rest of our lives together, and you were so sure that was going to happen, and then seemingly, out of nowhere, everything changes. And now you're going in a different direction. Or you're working for a particular company and you're just absolutely convinced this is the company that I'm supposed to be at. I'm going to be with this, you know, for the rest of my life. And there's all kinds of opportunities in front of you. You're on a career path. I mean, you just know this is the right direction. Things look promising. And then out of nowhere, things change. Company gets sold. You get a new boss, you get a new manager, you decide to transfer into a different department, or you get transferred into a different department, and now you're going in a completely different direction. And isn't it true? Isn't it true that oftentimes when we're in that season, we're in that moment, it's like, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I mean, I had it all mapped out, had it all figured out. I knew where I was going. I knew where I was headed. And now everything is changed. I thought for sure this was the one. I thought for sure this was the path that I was supposed to be on. And now I'm going in a totally different direction. And everything has changed. And all of us here this morning have experienced that at some level, probably. But isn't it also true that oftentimes after we get redirected, we look back and we think, and this is especially true if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you know, you put your faith in Jesus, we look back and we go, oh, I am so glad I'm not in that relationship. I am so glad I'm no longer working for that particular company. I'm so glad I'm not headed, you know, in that particular career path. I'm so glad that God redirected me, because if he hadn't redirected me, I'd never be experiencing what I'm experiencing. I'd never be with who I am right now. And you think to yourself, you know what? I didn't like it at the moment. I didn't understand it at the moment. It didn't make sense to me. I mean, it just, you know, at the time when all these things started changing. But now, as I look back, I see God's hand all over it. And I wouldn't change anything, because God knows what he's doing. And he knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for my family. He knows what's best for my future. And ultimately, you know, as a follower of Jesus, come on, as a follower of Jesus, it's not about me anyway. It's about his kingdom. And it's about his purposes. And it's about his plans for our lives. In fact, Solomon said this in Proverbs 16:9. He said, in their hearts, humans plan their course. I mean, we can make our plans. Nothing wrong with that. We should do that. We should make our plans. But at the end of the day, Solomon says, pretty wise guy, you know, wisest guy outside of Jesus. Solomon says, at the end of the day, it's the Lord who determines our steps. And again, this is one of the things that's so fascinating to me about how this church in Philippi actually got started, and these Philippian Christians that we're going to look at over the next several weeks. Because this is exactly what happened in the Apostle Paul's life. He was headed in one direction, and then God redirected him in a completely different way. And let me give you a little bit of background on the Apostle Paul, because if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you know, you're not a Bible person, you're not a church person, you know, you're just sort of checking out God and Christianity and Jesus and all of that. We're so glad that you're here today, if that's you. But here's something you need to know about the Apostle Paul. Before Paul became a follower of Jesus, he hated Christians. In fact, Paul made it the passion of his life to do everything in his power to destroy this movement called the Way, this movement called, you know, Christianity. And then Paul actually became a Christian. He became a follower of Jesus. And after Paul had been a follower of Jesus for a little while, Paul went out on these missionary journeys all over the Roman Empire, establishing all these churches and raising up and developing these leaders to be in those churches. And I mean, he was on fire and in love with Jesus. And while he was on one of these second missionary journeys, God decided to redirect him, and he calls Paul to the region of Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece, which, by the way, if you've been reading the news and following, you know, things that are on television, that's where thousands of people are trying to migrate to right now, in that area of Macedonia. This is where Paul went in the first century. So, and what's interesting is that while Paul is on his second missionary journey, the Bible tells us on two occasions, and Luke, in the book of Acts, and Luke, who was a follower of Jesus, he was a doctor, he was in the medical profession, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. It was actually one complete book in the first century. But on two occasions, Luke tells us in the book of Acts that Paul and his team were headed in one direction. You know, this is where they thought that they were supposed to go, convinced that, you know, this is where God is leading us. This is where God is taking us. I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing. They tried to go up into an area called Bithynia. They tried to go up into Asia. This is where they thought they were supposed to go. And on both occasions, the Holy Spirit redirected them and sent them in a totally, completely different direction. And here's something that Paul discovered that we at some point in our Christian journey have to discover as well, and it's this. God's no is not a rejection, it's a redirection. God's no is not a rejection, it's a redirection. And Luke, again, who wrote the book of Acts, and he doesn't tell us, you know, exactly how the Holy Spirit communicated his will to Paul and his team. I mean, we don't know if it was inner promptings. We don't know if it was a prophetic word. We don't know if it was external circumstances that brought this about. We're not exactly sure. But here's what I do know, and this is so important. This is so important. And it could be that you're here this morning, and you feel like, as a follower of Jesus, you feel like God is beginning to redirect your life. And here's what you need to know. It's simple but profound. God, your Heavenly Father and mine, never does anything by accident. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, as we have surrendered and submitted our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, we believe that our steps are determined by Him. That's why God's no is not a rejection, it's a redirection. That He knows what He's doing. That it's never just about us. That God always sees the bigger picture. And so Paul and his team, Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, Paul and his team being redirected by the Holy Spirit end up in a place called Troas. And you might be wondering why you're ending up in the place that you're in this morning. They end up in a place at Troas, and I want to read to you what happens next. Because what happens next, this is so amazing, this is so awesome. And there's no way Paul could have known this at the time. what God was doing is he was, you know, redirecting his life. There's no way he could have understood that. But things are about to change. Just like you and I don't know what God's up to when he begins to redirect our lives. We don't always know what he's up to. But things for Paul are about to change in a very, very dramatic way. And what we discover in this particular moment in the history of the church is that a lot hangs in the balance of Paul's willingness to continue to be obedient and follow Jesus as God begins to redirect his life. And church and friends, please listen to me. A lot hangs in the balance for your decision and my decision to continue to follow Jesus and remain faithful to wherever he may want to direct us. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts. We're actually going to begin our study in Philippians in the book of Acts, which is going to be an amazing study, because this is the background story of how the church at Philippi actually got started. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 9. And here's what Luke writes. Here's what he says. They've been redirected by the Holy Spirit from where they thought they were going. They're now down at a place called Troas, and here's what happens. During the night, so Paul's praying, talking to God. You know, this is part of who he was. He was a man of prayer. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him. So Paul's praying, and while he's praying, suddenly Paul gets this vision. God speaks to him, and there's this man who's standing, and he's begging, "Please come and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us." Verse 10. And after Paul had seen the vision, he decided to have a meeting. Is that what it says? He decided to have a discussion. Is that what it says? What does it say? It says, after he'd seen the vision, we got ready at what? At once. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that. No hesitation. There's no second thoughts. There's no questioning God. I love the fact that when Paul knows that this is what God has called him to do, when Paul understands that this is a redirection from God, Paul says at once, he just obeys. In fact, I ran across a quote this past week as I was writing this message and preparing this message, and I want to show you this quote. It says this: one step in obedience is worth years of study about it. One step in obedience is worth years of study about it. You can study about obedience. You can talk about obedience. You can discuss how important it is. You can desire to even want to do it. But until you do it, it doesn't have any impact. One step in obedience is worth years of studying about it. And I love Paul, because Paul is like, you know what? No matter what you ask, Lord, the answer is yes. Whatever question is you're about to ask me, whatever it is you're about to do in my life, wherever it is you want to redirect me, I just want you to know, God, the answer is yes. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter to me. I am so in love with you, Jesus. I am so committed to you. I don't care what you ask me. This isn't, I love Jesus, yes, I do, and I'll think about it, and maybe I'll follow through. This isn't what that is. Paul is like, hey, the answer is yes. It doesn't matter. That was Paul's mindset. Hey, if you want to redirect me in a different direction, you know what? The answer's yes. Paul understood God's no is not a rejection. It's a redirection. So Luke goes on. Look what he says. And so after Paul had seen the vision, Luke joins the team at this point. Luke, who's writing this, who wrote the book of Acts, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding, so after Paul gets redirected by the Holy Spirit, gets redirected by God, they all realize, you know what? God has a purpose behind this. There's a reason God is doing this. There's a reason we're being redirected. And here was their conclusion, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In other words, what God is doing, what God is up to, it's way bigger than us. It's way bigger than our plans. It's way bigger than what we've got going on. And the fact that God would redirect us is so much bigger than what we can see right now. And you know something? It's the same for you. It's the same for me. When God wants to redirect your life, when God wants to change and move you in a different direction, there's a reason behind it. It's always bigger than just us. This is what's so exciting about being on the mission with Jesus, when we really get on the mission with Him. Because we never know what He might do. We never know where He might take us. But we do know we're going to be more fulfilled if we'll follow through. But one thing they were convinced of is that there were people who needed Jesus, and God was redirecting them towards that end. And if you're here today, and you're in one of those moments, you're in one of those seasons of life where you just feel like God is redirecting you, let me just tell you, as your pastor, let me just tell you, a huge part of the reason, yeah, He wants to bless you, and yeah, I get that, but a huge part of the reason is to position you to share Jesus with the people that may come into your life. God doesn't put people around you for nothing. There is a reason behind it. Luke goes on, verse 11. So here's what they did. Here's what they did. So from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis, and then verse 12, and from there we traveled to Philippi. Now, let me tell you what Paul didn't do when God redirected his future. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't get upset at God. He didn't get angry at God and go, now, God, you called me to go on a missionary journey, several, and I'm doing exactly what you told me to do, and I've got my plans mapped out, and, you know, we're going to go up into this region, and we're going to go up here, and we're going to do this. Why are you messing with my plans? I had this all figured out. See, he didn't do that. And let me tell you why. And this is so important. Maybe this is why you're here today, for what I'm about to tell you. So please listen really carefully to what I'm about to tell you, because this might change your life. I'm hoping that it will. Paul was so tuned in to what God might say to him. Paul lived his life in such a way that Paul was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He was open to what I call a proceeding word from God. And let me explain what I mean by that. In fact, let me say it this way. Did you know that you could lose ground spiritually and miss out on what God ultimately has for you doing exactly what God told you to do if you don't hear and obey a proceeding word from Him? This is why obedience is so important, and it's borne out in Scripture. In fact, let me just give you one example. When Abraham was told by God to take his son Isaac, and if you're a Bible student, if you grew up in church, you'll know this story. If you're not a Christian, just like, what's this all about? When Abraham took his son Isaac, told him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him on an altar, he was doing exactly what God told him to do. But the same God who told him to take Isaac and offer him up on an altar is the same God who said to him, don't do it. And if Abraham had not heard a preceding word from God, if he had not heard and obeyed a preceding word from God, he could have killed the promised seed. And as I was thinking about this, as I was preparing this message, I thought, how many people have never realized God's ultimate best for them? Because they were doing what God told them to do. They were moving in the direction they were supposed to. But God wanted to take them deeper. God had a different plan. God had a different purpose. And He's trying. It's not that He's not speaking. And He's trying to speak a preceding word. And we miss it. We don't hear it. And we don't obey it. And we never get to where ultimately God would have wanted to take us. And we kill the promise that He had for us. One step in obedience is worth years of study about it. See, this is why obedience is so important. This is not a small issue or a small matter. Paul never got angry. He never got upset at God. But isn't that how we respond sometimes? We say we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Come on. We're talking about being followers of Jesus. We say we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Hey, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I'm all in. I'm all yours. And we submit and we say that. And then God says, great, that's where I want you. That's what I've been hoping you'd get to. That's exactly where I want you to be. And then God starts changing things. He starts trying to take us deeper. He's trying to redirect us for the furtherance of his kingdom and for us. And he starts trying to redirect us, and we're like, what are you doing, God? He starts changing things. He starts messing with our plans. He tries to, you know, redirect us in a different direction. And we're like, what are you doing? You know, I want to live here. I want this job. I want this relationship. This is how I want to live my life. And, you know, what are you doing, God? And we get mad. We get upset. We get angry with God. We're like, God, what are you doing? I say, here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about me. And you see this throughout Scripture. If God changes our plans, if God redirects your life and mine, it's for a reason. It's not because God's mad at you. It's not because God doesn't like you. It's not because God's trying to mess up your life. No. He loves you. There is a reason. There is a purpose why God is trying to, you know, redirect your life. It's because he knows what's best for you, and he knows what's best for me. And that if we'll just trust him, ultimately, God is going to get glory for it and through it. And ultimately, we're going to be more fulfilled as a result of our obedience to what God asks us to do. I remember before God redirected my life into full-time ministry. Honestly, I had my future pretty much planned out. You know, I was going to go get a bachelor's degree in business, which I did. And, you know, I spent several years going to college at night, four nights a week, 40-plus hour a job. I had my career set up. I was going to take advantage of every opportunity that the company I was at afforded me so that if a management position became available, you know, I would be ready, because you don't wait till it comes to get ready. You try to get ready ahead of time. So I took all of the training that I could possibly take. I volunteered for more, responsibility and leadership positions. And then a management position became available, and they gave it to me. Said, you're ready. And then after I'd been there for a while, I applied to be a part of their executive training program. And I applied for that, and they accepted me into that. And I spent a year in executive training, outside learning leadership and development and growing in that way. I was headed in one direction, had my career path planned out. Good money, good retirement, good benefits. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be there. I'm going to retire in that position. But God said, you know what? I got something else in mind. And he said, I'm gonna begin to redirect your life in a completely different direction. And again, at the time, I had no idea what the future was going to be like. I had no idea what it was going to look like. I couldn't see it. God could see it, but I couldn't. And he knew exactly what, you know, he was doing. And besides, come on, as a follower of Jesus, it's not about me anyway. It's not about my plans and my dreams and my wants and my desires. It's about what God wants and his plans and his dreams and his desires for my life. That's what it's about. And it's not about you. And it's not about your career and what you want as a follower of Jesus. Come on. It's bigger than that. And God's like, it's what I want for you. It's what I want to accomplish in and through your life as my follower. And was it easy making the transition, you know, from the marketplace into full-time ministry? No. I mean, in some ways it was, but in other ways, if I'm honest, it was extremely difficult. But see, here's what I learned. Here's what I discovered. God's no's not a rejection, it's just a redirection. I know you're headed this way. I know that's what you want. But God's no's not a rejection, it's just a redirection. And when God redirects our lives, and this will happen many times in your lives, it's not just a one-time thing. But when God begins to redirect your life and you're obedient to it, because you have a choice. You can have a choice. But when it comes to obedience, here's something that's always true. It's obedience. There's a known part and there's an unknown part. There's a known part and there's an unknown part. And here's what I mean by that. Here's the known part. Anytime you or I follow through on what God is redirecting us to do, He always gets honored as a result of that. Always. Whenever you and I step out and we allow God to redirect us wherever He chooses and we follow through on it, even sometimes when we don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I look at the books, I'm going, does it make sense to follow you, Lord? I mean, I know this is what you're asking. It just doesn't make sense. But anytime we step out, God is always honored. That's why the scripture, throughout the scripture, it says it's always better to obey than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all day long. I can sacrifice all day long. But at the end of the day, what God is after is our obedience to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And that's the known part. Every single time we step out and we follow through, God is always honored. Always. May not turn out the way you thought it should, and things may not be the way that you might have chosen them to be, but at the end of the day, God is always honored when we follow through on what He's asked us to do. But there's an unknown part too, attached to obedience. When we started Solid Rock way back in the day, honestly, as I was stepping out of the marketplace and at the position I was in, it was a pretty good position, pretty stable, pretty secure at the time. When we started Solid Rock, I had no idea if it was going to work or not. Yeah, I'd been in management in the business world. I'd never been a senior pastor before. I'd worked in a church and served. I'd never been a senior pastor before. I didn't know what was in front of me. We started with no money. No church supported us. No organization supported us. We started with no money, no land, no staff to speak of. I think we had a part-time youth pastor at the time. We had nothing. And I'm stepping out. I have no idea what's about to happen. I have no idea what the future is going to look like. I just knew that God was redirecting me out of what was comfortable and secure to do something that I wasn't unsure of. It was an unknown part. I had no idea what was about to happen or what was about to take place when we started Solid Rock. I just knew I was headed in one direction in the marketplace, and God was saying, I'm going to take you in a different direction. Had no idea. And now, as I look back over, you know, the last several years, and I think about all that God has done, and I think back over the years, the people that have come to know Jesus as a result of Solid Rock being here, who put their faith in Jesus, I think about all of the people that have taken that next step and have been baptized in water and made that public commitment to Jesus. I think about the lives that have been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how their lives have been changed. I think about the relationships that have been established. I think about the marriages that have been restored. And some of you are sitting here today. I could call you up here on this stage. You're living proof how God put your marriage back together. And it was because, you know, Solid Rock, that's part of the reason. Obviously, it's Jesus. But Solid Rock was here, and you happen to be here at this moment in this time. Your marriage is back together today. And you could wave your hand and go, you're right, I'm sitting here, I'm living proof of it, because this happened in our marriage, and I thought for sure, but God somehow turned it back around and restored it. You could give that testimony. I know some of you could. There's a lot of other things that I could talk about, and to think that I would have missed being a part of that had I said no to God's redirection in my life. I mean, think about this. When God redirected Paul's life for what, you know, he thought he was going to do and set him in a completely different direction, it wasn't easy. Listen, let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's just get out of the clouds. Let's just be real. Sometimes obedience is difficult. Sometimes stepping out in faith, it's not always easy. I think sometimes we read the scripture and we read over it and we go, oh, well, okay, yeah, that's really nice. No. I want you to think about this. When Paul goes to Troas and God gives him a vision about going to Macedonia, Paul had to go down to the port, get some tickets somehow. I don't know, you know, where the money came from, but he had to get some tickets, get on a boat. He had to travel like 150 miles across the Aegean Sea for 2 days, just hoping and praying that God, you know, is leading and directing him, protect him on the sea, because sometimes the seas can get pretty nasty. on the Aegean Sea, depending on what time you travel. He had to get on a boat. He had to go down there and, you know, just trust, you know, just to get over to that region. And then once he lands at Neapolis and he lands at the port there, now he's got to go another, you know, 10 miles inland, you know, inland to get to Philippi. I mean, it took some faith. It took some sacrifice on his part. And the other thing, and the other thing about obedience, the unknown part, and this is huge. I can't emphasize this enough. We never know what or who hangs in the balance of our decision to remain faithful, to continue to follow Jesus when he redirects our life. Paul had no idea who or what hung in the balance of his decision to remain faithful, to continue to follow Jesus when God redirected his life. I mean, think about this. Because of Paul saying, yes, I heard it, Lord. It's a preceding word from you. I heard it. I'm going to obey it. Because of Paul's, you know, obedience, and this is huge. Listen, think about this. I mean, there's many, but let me just give you three or four big things as a result of this. Did you know that because of Paul's obedience here, that the gospel would now be launched and preached for the very first time on the continent of Europe? And did you ever, when Paul left Troas to go over that Aegean Sea, traveling for 2 days, the gospel was going to be preached ever in the history of Europe? First time the gospel would ever be preached in Europe. The first church in all of the history of Europe would be established as a result of this man's obedience right here. And fortunately for us, Luke gives us a glimpse of the people that Paul actually met in Philippi in the first century, whose stories have been preserved for us in Scripture that, you know, we can study, whose lives were forever changed because of one man's response to the redirection of God in his life. Amazing stories. People like Lydia, a very, very wealthy businesswoman whom God, the scripture says in Acts chapter 16, you can read about it later, but wealthy businesswoman whom God would open up her heart and Paul would share about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And she would respond and say, yes, I want to put my faith in Jesus. And she responds and she gets baptized. And not only does she respond and get baptized, but her entire family comes to know Jesus. And she becomes a part of the very first converts in the church in Philippi. People like a young slave girl who is being mistreated and abused by men who are using her. And Paul, think about this. Paul, he doesn't know it when he's on a ship going there. But Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, he sets her free. And not only is she free from those who abused her and mistreated her, but now she is set free from demonic possession. And she becomes a part of the church in Philippi. Or people like the Philippian jailer and his entire family who would respond to Paul's message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that Philippian jailer who was about to commit suicide, and Paul will yell out and say, no, don't do it. He, over the course of the next few hours, will respond to the message as Paul talks to him about Jesus. And he will give his life. He will put his faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but his entire family will be saved as a result. Paul had no idea of who or what hung in the balance of his decision to remain faithful, to continue to follow Jesus, when he decided to redirect his life. This is how the Philippian church got started. And it happened because one man said yes to God's redirection in his life. What are you missing out on? Because you keep saying no. What are you missing out on? Because you think it's all mine, and I got to have, and I got to buy, and I got to, it's all about, what are you missing out on? Come on. What are you missing out on? In your marriage, your relationship, what are you missing out on? Point is this. Don't miss this. I want to say it one more time. We never know what or who hangs in the balance of our decision to remain faithful, to continue to follow Jesus when he chooses to redirect our lives. So here's my question for you this morning. What is it that God's asking you to do? What's he asking you to do? What's he asking you to do? What's he asking you to do? Because in your heart, as you're sitting there in your heart, you just feel like God's prompting you because you want to go deeper. As a follower of Jesus, you want to go deeper. What is it that God is prompting you to do? You feel like God's prompting you to take you in a different direction than where you're headed. It could be in your marriage. As a husband, God's going, come on, come on. Your marriage is not what it could be. I'm trying to get you to go in a different direction. You know, as a husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Quit treating her like you're treating her. Quit talking to her like you're talking to her. And as a wife, you know, you need to honor, you need to respect your husband. Why are you treating your husband like that? Why are you always running him down? Why are you doing that? I'm trying to redirect you. Could be in your relationships. God sees the relationship you're in. He's going, oh, please hear a preceding word, because I'm telling you, if you continue in this relationship, in front of you is pain and hurt and regret, and I'm trying to keep you from that. I really want you to hear me. I'm trying to redirect you. It could be in your finances. You think it's all yours, and we just did a whole series on that, and you fight it and you push against it. Come on. Come on. It's not yours anyway, and it could be gone like that. What's God saying to you? Is he trying to redirect you? It could be a ministry that God's trying to take you in or put you in because he knows the impact that you could have. What is it that God's asking you to do? And yeah, I know you got your plans and you got your reasons and you got your excuses and, you know, why you can't and why you won't and why it doesn't make sense and, you know, hey, whatever, preacher. I'm telling you, it's not about you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. God always has a reason when he redirects our lives, just like he did for Paul, when he redirected him in a totally, completely different direction. Here's what I want to do. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, we didn't even look at one verse in Philippians. Yeah, I know. We'll get to that next week, okay? We'll get to that next week. But here's what I want to do this morning. And Jamie, your team, you guys can come on up. We're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna close this morning. If you're here this morning, please listen to me. And you would say, Pastor, if you're just being honest, Pastor, that's me. I want to go deeper as a follower of Jesus. And this is the beauty about Philippians. It talks about what a mature Christian looks like and what a New Testament church looks like. And if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, that's me. I feel like God wants to redirect my life. That there's some things that I know God's been calling me to do in my personal life, my marriage, my finances, my relationships, my involvement in a ministry, or, you know, maybe to start a ministry. Whatever it might be. But you just feel like God is beginning to redirect your life, and it excites you and it scares you and it makes you mad because it's messing up your plans. You might even be mad at me. That's okay. But you would say, I've been resistant to it, Pastor. In fact, you would say, I even told God no. Maybe not verbally, but through your actions and through your broken promises. And today, there's something inside of you that says, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live the rest of my life. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. I don't want to miss it. There's something in you, even through all of the emotions that you might be feeling right now, there's something in you that says, I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. I want to surrender to whatever it is that God has for me. And see, this is the huge part of this. The problem, the tragedy, the challenge is you'll never know what God could have done in and through your life had you said yes. You don't want that opportunity to go. Just say yes to wherever he's trying to redirect you, redirect me. And as we launch into this series through the book of Philippians, I want us as a church and I want us as individuals to get to the place to where we could say like Paul. And this is a verse out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I think we have it on the screen here. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, as you know, as a friend, as a co-worker, as a son, as a daughter, as a name, whatever it may be. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then I want to read this to you out of the Message paraphrase. Here's what it says. This is so awesome. I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have a good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. I'm not trying to impress people. I'm not trying to impress, get people to think good of me. I'm not even trying to impress God. You're trying to do a bunch of stuff. I'm not even trying to do that. You know why? Because Jesus lives in me. Look at this. The life you see me living, this is Paul. This is the great apostle Paul. The life you see me living is not mine. It's not about me. But it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love this last part. I am not going to go back on that. Imagine what your life could be like, what my life could be like if we could get there. It's not about me. It's about him. Imagine what could happen, the impact it could have in your life personally and in your marriage and every dimension of your life. And imagine what could happen if all of us together as individuals begin to live like that. Imagine what it could do for us as a church, the impact we could have. That it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ in me. It's about him living his life through me. And you know what? I'm so surrendered to Jesus. I may be going this way, and if he wants to redirect me, then so be it. I'm going to do what he called me to do. I am not going to live this way anymore. Imagine what could happen if you made that decision today. And so as we take communion, we're going to do that in just a moment. I want that to be our prayer. It's not, I've been crucified with Christ. When I put my faith in Jesus, it's as though I was there with him. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who lives in me. I live my life through Jesus. I want him to live his life through me. I have Jesus in me. It's about him. And if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you by dying on the cross for your sins, I want to give you that opportunity today because I want to tell you this. If you're here today and you're not a Christian and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, I don't care what you've done, who you've done it with, or how dark your past may be, or how you think it's just so unforgivable, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus will forgive you of your sins. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that when someone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person on the inside. You change. You're not the same anymore. And that may be where you're at this morning. You may feel like I am so desperate for change because my life's going nowhere. Jesus will restore you and put you in his family. All you have to do is put your faith in him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the guys and ladies that have been appointed to join me up here in the front. We're going to take communion together, and I want to pray for us so you guys can come on down. And I want everybody to wait until you're served, and then we'll take communion together. But before we do, I want to pray. So guys, come on up and get ready. And would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to pray for all of us. Father, first of all, I want to pray for those here this morning who would say, I want to put my faith in Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins. I recognize today that it's not about me and what I can do. It's what Jesus has already done. And I believe that he died for me and my sins. And so today I repent of those sins and I believe that Jesus forgives me and puts me in his family. I believe that God can redirect my life. Father, I pray for all of us here this morning. For those of us at the Holy Spirit, there are those areas where God is wanting to redirect us. Because ultimately, He knows it will further His kingdom. And God, it will. And it will give us purpose for life and true meaning. And it'll take us deeper in our relationship with God. Father, give us the wisdom to know what to do. And would you please, Jesus, give us the courage to know how to do it in Jesus' name.